We certainly in this fellowship seek to be a Bible-based church. If we're not a Bible-based church and Holy Spirit-led, then we're failing. We're not part of Christ's church. We seek to be, in all things, Bible-based and Holy Spirit-led. In terms of the preaching and teaching that we bring, I guess you could say it is variety. But again, we trust it all based on the Bible. From time to time, we will bring some, if you like, some deep teachings. We will look at something like, for example, the parables of the kingdom. And we really get into the Word of God. Sometimes we will do a systematic study or verse-by-verse study of a book. Sometimes we will do themes. Sometimes it will be topical things. How do we operate in the workplace as Christians? How can we be better parents, mums, dads, sons, daughters, all these things, but bring it always back to the Word of God. So there will be one-offs and so on. Do pray for us that we, as leaders, as elders, do hear from the Lord, that we bring His Word. And sometimes you may think, this is just for the young, or this is just for the elderly, or this is just for the parents, or this is just for the, you know, the babes or whatever. We'll be praying for others, but be praying for yourself, that you will hear something from the Lord for yourself that will transform you and the way you're looking at your life, the way you're looking at your ministry. And if you're not in ministry and you're a Christian, then you're in a sad state. Do please see me. Please see one of the elders. We'd love to encourage you, but we've all got lives to lead outside the church. And if we're Christians, that should be impacting the culture. We're not going to change the culture, but we should be having an impact on it. And this is partly why we come together, to hear the Word of God. And if we as elders or any who brings the Word from this place get it wrong, or if you're not sure of something, you know full well you can talk to us, you can share with us. And if we've got it wrong or we've misinterpreted a scripture, we will always say hi, we'll hold our hands up and apologise. This morning I just want to, I'm doing by God's grace a 2-week sermon on decisions, on choices. First scripture I'd like us to bring is from James. So if you can turn to the book of James, please, chapter 1. James chapter 1 is page 1072 if you have a church Bible. And we read verses 2 to 8. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, without doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Okay, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Verse 5, if any of you lacks wisdom, if any of you are lacking in the Christ disciplines, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally. It will be given to you. My second reading is taken from Proverbs. So the Old Testament, Proverbs and chapter 3. And these are verses which we have all at some point been told to memorize them, as perhaps as children, but as adults we need to continue to memorize them and to live it out. Proverbs chapter 3. Verse 1 is page 561 in the Church Bible. My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. And so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh, strength to your bones. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. So shall your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will overflow with new wine. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest his correction. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects, just as a father the son in whom he delights. Happy is the man who finds wisdom, and the man who gains understanding. It's the word of the Lord. Decisions, decisions, decisions. Every day we have decisions to make. We have choices to make, don't we? We're faced with them every day of the week. Some of them are big decisions. Some are small. Some of them, what should we cook for dinner tonight? What shirt will we put on? Some of them are much bigger decisions. Career decisions. School decisions. Relationship decisions. Employment decisions. Where to live. Big decisions. Having found somewhere to live, where to worship. Life is full of decisions, isn't it? Full of choices. Choices about school. Choices about sports. Choices about dating. Choices about friends. Peer pressure. Choices smoking, drinking, sex, drugs. Some choices are easy to make. Others perhaps are not so easy. Some perhaps are more hard. Especially when you have people around you who are pressurizing you to do something. The best way to make choices, the best way to make good decisions, the best way to make choices in life is to make sure you are applying your heart to the Word of God. You see, unfortunately, many people know what the best thing is, but they don't do it. Because they let other reasons influence them. I've been there. We may do things for popularity, mightn't we? We may do things because we just want to be defiant, rebellious. We may do things because, hey, it promises a bit of excitement, fun. We may do things because of peer pressure. Yes, sometimes it can be hard to say no because it seems everyone else is doing something, so you want to just be accepted, don't you? But acceptance, being accepted, doesn't always mean that we're being smart, does it? Especially when we're following the wrong crowd. Being smart often means going against the crowd. As a fellowship, we find, and as leaders, we often find we're going against the crowd of the professing church. And there's peer, don't think it's just young people who have peer pressure. We all have it. Elders have it. Pastors have it. We all have it. Mums have it. Dads have it. Granddads have it. Everybody has some pressure to compromise and to make the weak decision. Just because it's the fastest road, just because it's the road. I was thinking about, hey, when we learn to drive a car. Some of you haven't got to that stage yet, but you're thinking about learning to drive a car. Supposing, you know, the instructor knocks on your door and says, hey, your first lesson. Says, what we're going to do today, we're going to take the car, we're going down the fast road, the A23 to Brighton. We're going to Brighton. We're going to go the quickest route. You're driving. And you would immediately think, this is madness. This is the wackiness of the highest order. Not only will I be a menace to myself and you who are sitting next to me, because I've never put my foot on the accelerator, let alone turn the engine on, I will be a menace to other road users. I should not take the quickest route to Brighton. I will probably never get there. Please let me take the back routes. Please let me take the lanes. It may take me longer to get to Brighton, but I probably will get there in one piece. And other people will have escaped certain accidents because I'm off their piece of road. So sometimes it's not just, as it were, taking the easiest decision. The way everybody else is going down that A23, so we should. We need to reflect what is the Bible saying about our life and our decisions. It's quite amazing, isn't it, how many, well, I guess most of us and the average person will consult anybody and everything when they've got to make decisions. The world, and perhaps some of us before we became believers, before we came to Christians, we'd buy the daily newspaper, and the first thing we'd turn to is the horoscopes. And they are horoscopes as well. I hope there's no one in this room who ever, ever dilly-dallies with that sort of thing. It's occultic, it's evil, and bad spirits get into you. If you have, and you haven't renounced it, please see us, and we will pray, and God's mercy and deliverance will come upon you. So don't let we, as believers, don't get anywhere. And if you're not a believer, but you're still looking at the wrong area for advice, even if you're doing it for a laugh almost, don't. Evil spirits, occultic spirits, are at work. Some people we will ask complete strangers for advice, and that's sometimes okay. Sometimes, if we've got to make a decision, we will talk to the pastor, we'll talk to the elders, another trusted Christian friend. That's good, there's nothing wrong with that. Sometimes we will talk to the pastor or their trusted friends after we've made the decision and we've dug a big hole. It's good sometimes to get the advice beforehand, but most of all, we should turn to the Word of God and seek His help ourselves. Hallelujah. Our scripture says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. Not in some of your ways, it means all of your ways. So it means the big things and the what we would deem the small things. And I would suggest, friends, that that verse and the verses we read in James, in fact, so much of Scripture, do help us in our decision-making, in our choices. I really do believe that. You see, our Lord, this awesome King, the one enthroned in splendor, wants to help us make good decisions. Good choices which reflect well on Him. He wants us to follow His guidance. In fact, is it not true that one of the main reasons the Bible has been written, the inspired Word of God, is that we, His children, should have words to live by? He does want to give us clear direction. In order to get it to our destinations, we may think we're on the right road. Let me give you another example. Yesterday, as you will know if you've read the diaries and have been praying for me, that I had meetings up in the northwest and travelling back by train yesterday, I get to Euston Station and find that the Victoria line is completely closed. They're doing engineering work and there's not one underground train working on the Victoria line. There's also disruption on some of the other lines. So it could have been chaos. Now, I could have decided, okay, blow, this is a nuisance, but never mind, I'll go down the escalator and the first platform I come to and the first train which comes on, I'll hop on and just hope it will eventually get me to Victoria. Probably if I did that, I'd end up in Edmonton or somewhere absolutely ridiculous. What I did, I think, was the sensible thing. I found a map, you know, these with red lines, black lines, green lines, blue lines, and so on. And I put my finger on Euston, my finger on Victoria, and followed it down. I realised if I got off an embankment and got on another train, I am confused. I got another train. I would then get to Victoria. I followed the instructions and everything worked well. Everything worked well. I got the connections, you see. We can be foolish. This is, you know, we've got to follow the directions of the word. We've got to know that we're on the right road, on the right track, haven't we? Because this leads us to eternity with Jesus. It leads to blessing in this life. It leads to peace within. When we do our own thing or listen to the wrong advice, then we're in trouble, aren't we? You see, sometimes we think that God is playing hide and seek with us, don't we? We do. Sometimes it does feel as if we're calling on Him and doesn't seem to answer us. Especially when it comes to the discovery of His will for our lives. But it's not true. That isn't true. God does delight in revealing His plans, His purpose to His children. Doesn't mean to say we will get it immediately, but there's a purpose in His delay. We may not quite be ready. There may be a big decision which we've got to make. And He's saying, hold fire. Just hold fire. If you go down that route now, you'll burn your bridges. God is serious about our lives and He's wanting it to count for Him and for us to make a difference. And make a difference in our environment and in our culture. Let us remind ourselves and another good memory verse, what James has just told us from the Word. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally, abundantly, and without reproach. There's no mistakes with God, and it will be given us. So it is God's will, it is God's desire that we should have wisdom. We should be full of Christ. We should be full of His Holy Spirit. He wants us to live life wisely. And whether I will have time this morning, that there's three things which I would like us to... There's three myths, if you like. One is that to find God's will is very, very hard. Okay, I've just said it can be challenging. It can be challenging for us to submit to the Lord, to wait upon Him. But the problem, one of our problems is we just give up, don't we? Or then do our own thing. Hey, we've always got God's will for the next person, for the person sitting next to us, haven't we? We can always tell them, oh, God is saying this, oh, you should do this and whatever. But when it comes to ourselves, but hey, we can hear from the Lord. I'm hearing from the Lord. God wants to talk to us from His Word. He wants to give us revelation about, some of you may have big decisions, some of you may have small decisions, but we've all got decisions to make which will either be glorifying to the Lord or will dishonour Him. Many of us do from time to time struggle to find out what God wants us to do in specific situations. But much of what He desires and wants for us is in here. It is in here. It's in the Word. It's in the Scriptures. It's in the Bible. Let's take the Ten Commandments for an example. From the Ten Commandments, we learn that it's wrong to steal. We should not steal. We should not lie. We should not commit adultery. So if we are thinking, well, if I sort of tread on this person and use him as a doormat and make myself, appealing to the boss and lick him and all sorts of things, then, I will get the promotion, I will get the pay rise. Actually, the commandment says don't be covetous, don't covet. And we're trying to do somebody a disservice because we want something perhaps God doesn't want. God may want us to have that promotion, God may want us to go for that job, but we do it His way. Do not kill! I hate that person. I wish he could find a number 92 Buster 4 on. We're committing murder. The Word of God says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your being. Love the Lord God. Love your neighbor as yourself. That's a command. If we get that right with God's help, then he's giving us wisdom. There's a Psalm 119, that's the longest psalm, 176 verses in it. It's every stanza talks about the Word of God. There's a verse, again, a memory verse. These things should be... What am I going to say, Francis? Somebody will know the verse I'm going to say. Thank you! Your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Your Word is a lamp to my feet, a light to my path. Verse 105. God's Word has been written to guide us, to direct us, to inspire us. And it's our responsibility to study it, to search the Scriptures, so that we can find His desires for our lives. If we study, God is faithful to reveal His will to us. Jeremiah talks about, and throughout the Scriptures it says, that you may hear the word of the Lord. You may hear the word of the Lord. I guess for those of you who were at certain schools, and maybe at certain schools, it was a very, very bad day when Jamie Oliver got in on the act. When he decided those chicken nuggets and beef burgers were actually no good to you and got in a healthy diet. Now, he did it so that his motives weren't, and he's probably paid a few pennies as well, but his motive was that we would eat healthily and perhaps live a little longer. That was his motive, that we would get off the junk and eat good food for our bodies. But more important than that is what goes into the mind, what we're feeding ourselves, what we're reading. You see, if we're reading the Word of God, then we're certainly getting iron into us. We're getting some good stuff into us. We need to watch, don't we, what we are feeding our brains with. We really, really do. Those glossy magazines which our peers are reading and where they're getting the lowdowns and the high downs on everybody, celebrities and all the gossip and all the fashions and everything else. Are we feeding ourselves, for example, with that? You know, what's hot, what's not? There's not enough substance in there. There's nothing there which will sustain us. Our spiritual lives need a good dose of the correct ingredients. We need to tuck into our Bibles, don't we? We do need to tuck into our Bibles. We need to tuck into them for a healthy feed. What the Lord wants for us, friends, is a diet of power. He wants a diet of power for you and for me, individually, families, church. He wants a diet of power. By God's word, the heavens existed. The earth was formed. By the word of God. The words I have spoken to you are spirit and they are life. The words I have spoken are spirit and they are life. When you eat the Word of God, it can't just sit there and do nothing. It comes to life. When faith is mixed with it, it comes to life. Hallelujah! It's powerful, it's creative, it's dynamic. It's the dunamis power of the Lord, because the Word and the Spirit are one. Hallelujah. And it gets to work in us. It starts to produce results. And results to the glory of God. So God does want us to find His will. God does want us to discern. And then something else which we're told is that God wants us to know everything about the future. I don't think that's true. Hear me. We study prophecy. We need to know where this world is heading and what is happening, what's going to happen within the church. And we need to know about the warnings, the signs of the times. We need to know that Christ is coming back. Because this is an incentive for us to do the work of ministry, to do the work of evangelism, and to be holy as He is holy. It's an incentive to know that things are going to get worse before they get better, and that we have His Word to guide us. Between three quarters and whatever. This is full of what's going to happen in the future. And we need to know it, we need to study. But what am I saying when God doesn't want us to know everything about the future? I tell you, if He did, if you were to know what was going to happen in a year, 2 years, or even tomorrow, would you have faith? I don't know. It might fill you with despondency. It might do. It might fill you with hope and joy. But we need, yes, to be concerned about the future. But if we as Christians just knew what was going to take place in our lives and whatnot, it could fill us with despair, or it could take us off from leaning on the Lord. Think, well, it's going to happen anyway. But we as Christians know that He is the one who does hold the future in His hands. Which means He holds your future in His hands. And that should give us a great deal of confidence. It really, really should. If you are a believer in Jesus and if you're seeking to follow Him, you have accepted Christ Jesus into your heart, you're seeking to be a disciple, you are enduring all things for the sake, God has prepared a place for you. Hallelujah. He knows the future because He's written it. It's His story, even for your life, but He's also gone to prepare a place for you. He knows the future, that if you're a follower of Jesus, you'll endure until the end, you'll reign with Him forever and ever. That's good to know, isn't it? One day, your home will be eternity. But in the meantime, we have to live by faith. Don't we? We don't walk by sight. It's by faith. It's by trust. It's knowing that the God who's written this is knowing Him personally and saying, hey, this word. Sometimes, hey, I'm sure I'm not the only one in this room. Sometimes you're going through, perhaps privately, you're going through a book of the Bible and think, oh, I wish this wasn't in. I think I'll skip this because it's really challenging. It really is convicting. I thought, oh, no, I can't handle this, please, Lord. You know. I know I'm guilty here. We try to ignore it. That's to our shame. But also, if we read it and say, okay, God, I've come short here. I have done that. I have thought that. I have been that type of person. And I know I'm guilty. Please forgive me. Let your word see. And stop at that place rather than passing it over. Stop at that place and say, please, Lord, in mercy, deal with me now. And then lead me back to yourself. Because maybe that thing which I want to ignore is hindering me, and my walk with you is even hindering my prayers. Praise the Lord that the Word is a lamp to our feet. It is a light to our path. Let's just turn, as we possibly will conclude this session, to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. The other thing which we tend to do, friends, is that we read a scripture or we hear a sermon and says, I hope that person's read that. I hope that person's heard that. That's for them. No, actually, just listen for yourself and see what God is saying to you. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, page 1027, verse 6. Verse 5. Now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has also given us the Spirit as a guarantee. The Holy Spirit is a guarantee that we will share in the resurrection. So we're always confident, knowing that while we're at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, but we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, yes, well pleased, rather be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. So let me just reiterate what I said just now. One reason that God doesn't reveal the entire future, your future, is because he wants us to trust him moment by moment. He wants you and me to trust the Lord moment by moment, one step at a time. But what we know as believers, where those steps will ultimately lead us. Hallelujah. Let me just then finally, quickly deal with the third one I call myth, that God's greatest goal for your life and my life is our happiness. Now, of course, happy are those who fear the Lord. We just read about happiness in the scripture just now. But God's greatest goal in your life and my life is not our happiness. It isn't. It isn't. Now, of course, there is some truth in this. If you're following God, if you're reading his word and you're saying, hey, I'm a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, I want to glorify him in my workplace, in my college, in my neighborhood, within my family, amongst the shops, on the bus, I'm a follower of Jesus, I just want to be known, I want the life of Christ in me to be seen. If we're following God, it will eventually lead to blissful happiness, unbroken happiness, unbridled joy. But let me say this quite clearly. God is more concerned about your and my character than he is about our happiness. He's concerned about us, concerned about our character. He's concerned more about our character than he is about our comfort. Perhaps we were brought up with this myth that we deserve to be happy and successful. God is more concerned about our holiness than he is about our happiness. He really is, friends. In fact, God is committed to our holiness, but not our happiness. If we're holy, we're going to have joy. Joy is something that works within. It's not here today, gone tomorrow. Happiness depends on how we get up in the morning, what sort of night we've had, what we did the previous night. But joy is an inner strength. It's the joy of the Lord. It's wonderful. God is committed to your purity rather than your pleasure. God is committed to it. He's committed to it. If he's committed to it, he wants you to succeed. God does want us to be successful. In order for our character to change, sometimes he allows us to go through some pretty tough times. It's really the tough times that if we are submitted to God, that God allows to build our character. That's a fact. God is in the life-changing business, is he not? Let me just say, there's a verse in Isaiah, the Old Testament, which says, "Let him who walks in darkness and who has no light, let him trust in the name of the Lord and rely upon his God." Let him who walks in darkness, we're thinking of choices, we're thinking of decisions, we're thinking of our walk with the Lord, doing the right thing. He who has no light, let him trust in the name of the Lord and rely upon our God. God promises us peace within, okay? Peace which the world doesn't know anything about, but a peace which God puts within us because we're submitting ourselves to him. And actually, we're bringing pleasure to God. On Wednesday evening at the prayer meeting, we just looked at a particular psalm, and I think it was Psalm 147, was it not? And it just talks about his people, the people of God, you bringing pleasure to God. Without faith, we cannot please God. If we have faith and we're submitting our lives to him, we shall please him. He takes delight in us. That's the scripture. Wow, this awesome, amazing God. God promises us peace. But we also know that things can happen even to good people, to righteous people. Okay? And Isaiah, the scripture which I've just read out, there are other passages, makes clear that there are times when darkness will even surround the people who love God. Some of you may be in that situation right now. Well, we need to check our Bible again, don't we? You know, we think about Job, don't we? He was well blessed, then he lost everything, did he not? And he cried out. He cries out in Job, he says, "He has fenced up my way, he's blocked me in. He's fenced up my way so that I cannot pass. And he has set darkness in my paths." Is darkness always our enemy? The evil powers of darkness are. That which is from the pit is. But is darkness always our enemy? Let's think about this as we conclude. In the olden days, before we all went digital, we had our cameras and we had to put films in them. Did we not? Remember those days? And when you took the film out, you had to make sure you was in a black, darkened room. If just one bit of light got on that film, your pictures were ruined. Okay? That's a fact, isn't it? All right? Well, our dark days, dear friends, should, if God has his way, make us lean on God in ways we normally wouldn't. Our troublesome days, those days when our mates are really giving us a hard time, those days when, hey, the tempter's on our back, those days when money is tight, money is short, those days when our children are giving us more grief than usual, those days when we've reacted in a wrong way and now we're really sorry and we sense something of God's chastening and our own stupidity. Those days when we don't get that promotion, those days when, hey, we're called in the office and say, "Sorry, mate, there's no money, I've got to lay you off." Those days when we go into the doctors and it's that bad news we just didn't want to hear. Those days, they're dark days, aren't they? They're dark days. Let me say, friends, and I do say this with a little bit of experience, and got it right all times, but the truth is, if our faith was never tested, I think we'd be less motivated to draw near to God. I really do. And that's when God really wants to get our attention. Not to bring us into condemnation. He may certainly want us to listen to him, to hear his voice, and to speak to us, to give us hope, to give us life, to know his presence. There's an old song, we sometimes sing it. It's a hymn, I guess, but if I say song, you'd like it. There's a lovely song. The verse says, "When darkness seems to hide his face, I rest on his unchanging grace. When all around my soul gives way, no, he then is all my hope and stay. On Christ, the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand." Anyone can praise God when life is good. It's when darkness falls that that's when we find out what our faith is made of. And God wants us to be strong, to stand on him, stand on his word. It is those times that we start to develop night vision, the right vision. "Even though I walk through the valley of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." David knew that it's better to walk through the dark valley with the Lord beside him than be on the mountaintop alone. So God is in the life-changing business, hallelujah. He takes that which is broken and fixes it. He takes that which is bent and straightens it out, glory to his name. He takes that which is shattered and puts it back together. That is what God does. Glory to his name. God is in the life-changing business. He is more concerned with your character and my character than he is our comfort. Have you ever thought, as I conclude, that if you're going to be like Jesus, you're going to have to go through some of the stuff that he went through. Do you remember what Matthew chapter 5 says? Blessed are you when men throw insults at you, they persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely on account of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great. As they persecuted the prophets who were before you, and they persecuted me, so they'll persecute you. I said the other week at a home fellowship meeting, what is the worst thing anybody could say about you as a Christian? What is the worst thing your mates at school could say about you? What is the worst thing your neighbour could say about you? What is the worst thing that your employer could say about you? I didn't know that you were a Christian. That's the worst thing they could say. May we follow Christ very, very closely through the dark times and the good times. May we make choices which reflect well on him. May we not blend in with the culture. May we be different. The way we dress, what we read, who we go with, who we hang out with, make sure we have the blessing of the Lord God Almighty. In this word, it tells us all about those things. That's our direction. And God will help us. God will help us. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. He will make your path straight. That's a wonderful promise. It just has a condition attached to it. Amen.